This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And happy Monday. Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. For the first hour of our program, Congressman Ro Khanna is going to be with us today taking your calls. Our telephone number 202-808-9925. Congressman Khanna is the vice chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. He represents the 17th District of California. By the way, in the second hour, Greg Palast is going to be with us. He's going to be talking about how Kris Kobach stole the election in Kansas. It's getting pretty weird out there. Lisa Graves will be with us at 10:30. She's a regular. She used to be a regular on our program. She's the director of the Center for Media and Democracy. She's once again a regular, I guess. And she wrote the memos that Brett Kavanaugh lied about in his Senate confirmations and is calling for his impeachment. And in our third hour, Dr. Crystal Fleming, associate professor of sociology and Africana studies, is going to be at SUNY and the author of a new book, How to Be Less Stupid on Race. And we're going to be talking about everything from Colin Kaepernick to Serena Williams to the Dallas cop who killed this person in his apartment. So that's what's happening on our program today. Congressman Ro Khanna is with us. Congressman, welcome to the program. Oop, I'm sorry, I've got him on the wrong hybrid. There we go. Congressman, can you hear me now?
I can. Can you hear me?
I just fine. Yeah, I'm sorry, I had the wrong button pushed.
No worries. Great to be back on.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. There are a couple of things that I wanted to bring up just to discuss with you real quickly as people are calling 202-808-9925 to get on and ask you questions if you'd like to ask Congressman Khanna anything. And the first is you co-authored a piece with Bernie Sanders that was published, I see it in Time magazine. It's titled, "It's Time to Get Billionaires Off of Welfare." You know, it looks like the welfare you're talking about is food stamps and housing support and all the programs that we're giving to low-income people who happen to be working for Amazon and Walmart. Do I have that right?
Yeah, it's absolutely absurd. I mean, here you have Amazon announcing that they're a trillion-dollar company, and they're still, some of the workers, $10, $11 an hour for work weeks. And so the taxpayers are basically subsidizing these employees. We're working for multi-billion, multi-trillion-dollar companies, and it's not just Amazon. It's Walmart. It's fast food chains. It's retail companies. There was a study that showed it's about $150 billion a year that we're subsidizing employees for working in multi-billion-dollar companies. So the bill, the hope is that the bill will tax these companies for that and incentivize them to raise their wages to at least $15 an hour, a livable wage.
If Democrats take control of the House of Representatives, is legislation like this viable? I mean, obviously right now, Paul Ryan would never bring it up for a vote or even let it out of committee.
You know, to be honest with you, I think there's going to be opposition, even some in our own party. I've never gotten more calls. I think the lobbyists were hard at work because people don't get away after successful corporations. But we have a strong progressive group of folks who are going to push this. And to me, it's just common sense. If you're working hard and you're working in a company that's doing very well, you should be making a wage to be able to support your family.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I'm curious also your thoughts on this this new ethics complaint that has been filed against Judge Kavanaugh for basically lying about taking possession of Democratic memos when he was working in the Bush White House. All the revelations that are coming out that, the latest one, Jennifer Cohn tweeting, it was Kavanaugh who woke up George W. Bush in the middle of the night to have him sign legislation to keep the body of brain-dead Terri Schiavo alive right. Against the wishes of her husband. It seems to me that if he was an Obama nominee with now three or four fairly clear perjury charges against him and refusing to talk about or refusing to own up to even his past statements about how Roe v. Wade is not settled law, that he would be toast. I mean, I don't understand why the New York Times and the Washington Post are basically saying, yeah, he's going to get confirmed.
Well, I think it's overly fair-mindedness. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, look, this is a person who was a partisan hack. I mean, he started his career going after Bill Clinton with lewd details about the whole Monica Lewinsky episode. I mean, it's someone who would work on a campaign as an opposition, not a jurist. And then he was a person in the Bush White House. He's not the type of person put on the Supreme Court. I mean, I disagreed with Antonin Scalia in every opinion, but you couldn't call Scalia just a campaign partisan hack. This is like elevating someone who worked in your war room on a campaign and making him a jurist. So
yeah.
I hope we'll continue to push a very, very strong case that this is unconscionable to confirm someone like this.
Yeah. Your phone, by the way, keeps fading out. I don't know if maybe you're walking around the room, if you could stand near the window.
I'm on a landline. So it's odd.
You're on a landline. That's so strange. It must be, one that's a VoIP landline that's, whatever. Anyhow, so let's pick up some phone calls here. We got a bunch of people on the line who want to talk to you. Laura in Chicago, listening to WCPT. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Yeah, Congressman, I'm really, really concerned, with this op-ed from the senior official, and whatever you think about it, whether you think about it as treasonous or deep state or whatever, it just echoes what Woodward talked about in his book, and what people have said over and over again, is that the president might actually be, incapable of, doing his duties. And I'm wondering if it's 25th Amendment time and how that gets started.
Well, I share your concerns. I am concerned that the president doesn't understand a very basic part of American law, which is he has...
Wow, your phone just completely faded out there, Congressman. This is so strange. We'll have to try to reconnect at the bottom of the hour, but please repeat what you just said, because you the first two words came through and then you faded completely out. Whoop, we just lost him. Okay, we'll get Congressman Khanna back on the line. I think, his phone dying was its way of telling us, I'm going to die, this phone is going to go away. Anyhow, this is the essence of this new filing. By the Democratic coalition, they allege that Kavanaugh perjured himself both in the current confirmation hearings as well as in 2004 and 2006. And they are asking Judge Merrick Garland, the chief judge of the D.C. Circuit. Now, I'm guessing that Garland will recuse himself. I mean, that just makes sense. But they're asking Garland to rule on whether or not this guy can be, the censured or perhaps even impeached. And there is a movement to impeach him. So we'll see where that goes. Congressman Khanna, you're back? Congressman Khanna in Hybrid 2?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, it's still breaking up a little bit.
But hopefully this will be... fine. Anyway, the woman's caller, she made a great point, and the thing that the president doesn't understand is that he's not a person unto himself. He has obligations and responsibilities to the law, and the thing he keeps missing in his judgment and why he's not competent to do the job is he doesn't understand the constraints and that we're a nation of law and that he can't just do what he pleases and that there's a constitutional system to check of checks and balances. So she's absolutely right. The Woodward book and these op-eds are showing his inability to understand that basic fact.
John in San Francisco, listening on AM 910, our iHeart radio station there. John, you're on the air with Congressman Ro Khanna.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning.
Hi. I wanted to offer up a suggestion. President Obama's speech on Friday was brilliant, and it looked like he was doing it off the cuff and not from a text or a written teleprompter. And I'm wondering if there's some way to encourage him to do that repeatedly for the next 2 months, because we, as a party, the Democrats have, and I've called Tom and Congressman Pocan about this before last year, about the lack of messaging and branding by the Democratic Party, and it's getting better, but what Obama spoke about on Friday was brilliant, and it was very moving, and if we could pound that into the rest of the country for 2 months,
I agree,
I think
with
it would go a
you
long way. What's
the key takeaway from what Obama said that you think resonated?
I'm sorry?
What did you think resonated most about the president's speech?
Well, just the messaging about, you know, we oppose Russians, we oppose Nazis. It's very simple. I mean, those were some of the brilliant moments, but the entire speech was so moving and uplifting. And he's really good at that. I mean, that's what got him elected. And I'm just hoping that we can encapsulate that speech at Urbana, Illinois, University of Illinois, and just repeat it, you know, and let everyone in the country hear that, not just a few people, you know what I mean?
I agree with you. I mean, look, I worked for President Obama. I was in his administration. I think what I found effective about his speech is he painted the Republicans as the radicals who are doing something that's not common sense and out of the mainstream, and he made that point very, very simply, how far they've departed from what they used to stand for. I do know he was out in California, and I think he plans to be out in different parts of the country. He's probably still the most eloquent messenger we have for the party. We need others as well, but I agree with you about having him campaign a lot is only an asset for us.
Congressman Ro Khanna, the vice chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, representing California's 17th district in the U.S. House of Representatives, taking your calls for the hour. It's 17 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You can tweet Congressman Khanna at Rep. Ro, R-O, Khanna, K-H-A-N-N-A, and his website, khanna.house.gov. And welcome back. Donna, watching us on YouTube Live, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna. Donna?
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear Donna.
Quite all right.
So, I was really frustrated when I called into Susan Collins' office. They don't take comments unless you live there. Is there any advice I can get to, you know, besides just lying and giving him a false zip code when I call about rejecting Kavanaugh?
Well, Donna, first of all, thank you for speaking out and being active and contacting people like Susan Collins. I think that's the type of citizenship we need. You know, the Senate offices and congressional offices, because of capacity, often can't respond to people outside their offices. But trust me, they get the message. And I think just being active on social media, active in writing is everything you and other citizens can do. You won't get a response if you're not in the state. If you know people in the state, certainly you can encourage them to speak out.
Jeff, watching on YouTube in St. Louis, Missouri. Jeff, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Yeah, Congressman Khanna. This weekend I saw a show on Bill Maher. I saw Bill Maher's show. And he was talking about a movie called Active Measures. I don't know if anyone's heard about this yet, but it totally lays out the crime plot of the Trump family and how the Russians have been backing him since 86.
Well, Jeff, I think there's a lot that we don't know about the interactions between Trump, his family, and Russia. I am confident that Mueller is going to get to the bottom of that with his report, and I'm looking forward to reading that report. But I think that that's going to be a bombshell for many people when we read the details of all of those relationships and the interference that took place in this past election.
Congressman, we just have a minute to the break here. It's being reported that the Bush White House, the Trump White House, has the power to withhold from Congress Mueller's report because Mueller technically works for the executive branch. And they have now, at least somebody in the administration has come out and said that that's exactly what they're going to do. Whatever Mueller says, Congress is never going to see it. If they try to pull that little, you know, skeezy game, how are you guys going to react?
To draw up articles of impeachment the next day. I mean, that's even Nancy or the leaders and some Republicans, I think, would think that that's precipitating a constitutional crisis. And it would, frankly, be evidence that the report has something damning If I were the White House, I would release the report no matter what and think you have a better shot of fighting it on the merits than hiding it. Cover-ups almost never work in American politics.
Yeah. I was on Fox News over the weekend. It just always takes my breath away how effectively they are shelling for this guy. It's just remarkable. Congressman Ro Khanna, taking your calls. We'll be right back. You were going to say something, sir?
No, I just said it's amazing that they continue to defend him. It's as if it's evidence.
Yeah. Well, you've got the billionaire Rupert Murdoch and billionaire Donald Trump. It's kind of a club, I guess. We'll be back with more of your calls for Congressman Khanna right after this. Welcome back. There we go. Welcome back. Congressman Ro Khanna on the line with us, taking your calls. Sorry about the long music bed there. Mark in San Jose, California. Mark, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hi, Ro. I had an idea for the Progressive Caucus. I was wondering if you could make a card for, like, voting rules with provisional ballots, then specific for each area, and then maybe add some of Obama's speech about Nazis or easy to reject, or having the arm of the government go after your opponent, and then maybe a third thing might be to encourage owners and even employees on that Tuesday to cover for people to go to elections, things like that. So thank you for commenting on those things.
Well, Mark, I completely we need to figure out how to increase election day turnout, make it easier for people to vote. One idea, similar to what you're saying about having employers pay for people or cover for people to go vote, is to just have election day be a holiday. Bruce Ackerman of Yale has written about that, and I think that would go a long way, allowing people the day off to go vote, or at least a half a day off to go vote. I think the idea about having people fill out the same day ballots and make sure those are counted makes sense. But I agree with you. We have to make it easier for people to vote in this country, and the Republicans are trying to do the exact opposite.
Elizabeth in Lowell, Massachusetts. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hello there. I am a 72-year-old retired registered nurse who's been a Democrat since I reached the age of reason. And I am very disappointed in the non-verbalization of the accomplishments of our last Democratic president. He himself didn't brag enough. I think what most people from a working class background like my own don't understand why he wasn't more aggressively combative and bragging about his means. This is what the Republicans do. And I think that the Democrats advised him not to. But we're in a new game now. The guy that got elected is a braggart and a liar. And we have to fight fire with fire. We're going into an election that is requiring automatic weapons with nothing. We're not going to win if we don't learn to play their game, even on these talk shows.
Elizabeth, let's let Congressman Khanna respond to your call.
Okay,
we have just a minute to the break.
Well, look, Elizabeth, I love your passion, and we need you out on the campaign trail. But you're absolutely right. Obama could have gone into a little bit more detail about exactly what the Democrats did in 2008. Remember, when he came into office, we were losing. Our GDP was down 8.2%, negative 8.2% a quarter. We were losing 800,000 jobs every month. And we came in, the Obama administration and a Democratic Congress, and passed a stimulus of about $800 billion. It wasn't nearly enough. It could have probably been $1.8 trillion, but it's the only thing we could get because not a single Republican voted for it. And that's what saved the American economy. I mean, it's what took the stock market from 5,000 up to 18,000. It's what started having job losses turn into job gains and GDP going from negative 8% to positive 2%. So, yes, we need to make that case and remind the American people of the turnaround that the Democrats engineered.
Congressman Ro Khanna taking your calls for the hour. He is the vice chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. He represents the 17th District of California. His website, Khanna, K-H-A-N-N-A, .house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Ro Khanna. We'll be back with more of your calls for Congressman Khanna in just a moment. It's 27 minutes and 25 seconds past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
We'll be right back with Congressman Ro Khanna. Hang on. Your media support group for We the People, the Tom Hartman Program. Congressman Ro Khanna taking your calls for the hour. And Gretchen in Chicago, you are on the air with Congressman Khanna.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for taking my call. You know, I keep hearing Trump use this term deep state, but isn't he just talking about the people he hired? These aren't Washington bureaucrats that he's having an issue. These are his people, you know, and whoever this inside person, you know, the anonymous, it seems like, you know, he needs to clean his own house. It's not our problem. What do you think?
Congressman?
Gretchen, I think you're absolutely right. First of all, a lot of them are his political appointees. Secondly, even those that aren't his political appointees are career folks who have a distinguished record in public service and who are obligated to follow the law and the Constitution. So he is attacking people who have dedicated their lives to public service. No other president has ever done that, because those folks are supposed to be apolitical, and the president has politicized it in a way that's really hurting American institutions.
Barbara in Los Angeles, listening on KPFK. Barbara, you're on the air with Congressman Ro Khanna.
Yeah, I just want to make a brief comment. Even though Donald Trump is a hothead and is very ignorant of history and is a supposedly poor businessman, he's very dangerous because he knows how to whip a crowd into a frenzy, and he's really brilliant at that. And I think, considering him only as a one-faceted person, is extremely dangerous. He really that's really a skill of his. And that's all I wanted to say.
Well, I don't think anyone should underestimate the demagoguery of Donald Trump. I mean, he beat 17 Republican candidates and beat Hillary Clinton, and he does it by divisive rhetoric and the age-old trick of getting people to blame others for their problems and to demonize the other. And so I agree with you that he's a formidable opponent, and it's going to take a message of really connecting with people and solving their problems and offering them aspirational vision to beat them.
Alan in Crown Point, Indiana, you're on the air with Congressman Ro Khanna.
Thank you, gentlemen. After years of Nordic negotiations with North Korea, they supposedly delivered a letter where they wanted the further negotiations and to follow up at least by 2020. What will you and your colleagues do to help support Donald Trump in the negotiations with North Korea? Thank you, sir.
Well, when the president decided to engage Kim Jong-un, I was one of the few Democrats who supported that. I actually disagreed with Senator Schumer. I said we should be engaging North Korea. Now, the way I think we ought to be engaging them is the way Bill Perry and George Shultz have said, which is, we need to have systematic concessions and dialogue that's going to lead somewhere, such as looking at our joint military exercises, looking at what steps we can be taking in addition to asking for denuclearization. The problem with what Trump's approach has been, he had the photo op, and then since then there's been disengagement, and he's told Pompeo not to go there. What I would recommend to him is he get people like Bill Perry around him and George Shultz and have systematic dialogue and real negotiation. And he would have a lot of progressives supporting that.
Denise, in Chicago, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Good morning, sirs. Thank you for great work that you do. What are the specific steps, Congressman, please, that are going to protect us from the great voter purge happening all over again? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Denise. We've talked about this before on Tom's show, the voter purge in Ohio, where people were being taken off the rolls if they hadn't voted in one or two elections. There has been a systematic effort with voter ID laws to limit people coming to the polls. As recently as a couple weeks ago in Georgia, fortunately, it didn't succeed, but there was an effort to shut down polling places in predominantly African-American areas. And you have a concerted effort to stop people from voting because many people understand the demographics of this country have changed, and they don't want some of these new folks voting. So this is as big a challenge for us as the voting rights original struggle was, and people like John Lewis who are in the Congress recognize that, and we're working at with everything we can do to deal with that.
David in Park Hills, Missouri, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hello, Congressman. Thank you, and thank you, Tom, for your show. You're very informative. I'm 65, and I went to vote this last time a couple months ago, and I said I wanted to vote independent. However, they wouldn't give me a Republican or a Democratic form. They had no independent form, and so I switched, and I said, okay, I'll vote Democratic. The only thing they would have given me, and I voted against the right to work for less, was what that one issue. But they wouldn't give me, and I thought being independent, I should have the right to vote for a Democrat or a Republican.
Well, I appreciate that, and this is one of the challenges of our primary system. We often have closed primaries where you have to be a registered Democrat or a registered Republican almost a year before a primary in some states, like New York, before you can vote. I believe we need to change that. I believe if you're a declined state or independent, you should be able to vote in the primary, and you should be able to go there the day of and vote. And that would really empower a lot of people like you to participate.
James in Spokane, Washington. You're on the air with Congressman Ro Khanna.
Yeah, amendment question, please. Like to remind all of our Democrats that when we don't hold these unscrupulous fools accountable at the earliest opportunity, we are complicit.
So that was your
question. Congressman, I'm thinking in a two-party system, the majority party is effectively a supermajority. Do you think legislation would pass through Congress if we required the majority party to have a supermajority, vote? You know what I mean?
That's sort of what the filibuster was, isn't it, Congressman Khanna?
It is. And my concern with requiring a supermajority is when we do get a progressive majority in Congress, I don't want the Republicans stopping policies that have 80% approval, such as Medicare for All, making college tuition free or debt-free, net neutrality. And I could see a scenario if we move to a two-thirds requirement that a few minority senators representing a very small percentage of the country could block progressive policy. So I'm not for having a supermajority requirement to make change.
Gary in Chicago, you're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Thank you. My concern is that everybody is getting distracted by the multitude of issues, and the one issue that changes everything is a citizen's right to vote. Okay, it's not in the Constitution. If it was a bill was put together, a one sentence bill, dare the Republicans to vote against it. Okay, make it an issue right now in the for the upcoming election, and if not, it should be the first order of business after. After we retake Congress.
And the bill would just give every citizen the right to vote, you're saying, or what was the specific?
Yes, the one sentence. Every citizen has the right to vote. That would make illegal all of the caging, everything. Everything falls in place after that.
You know, I agree with you on that. That's originally what the Voting Rights Act is supposed to do, which the Supreme Court has gutted. The Voting Rights Act was making it clear that every citizen had a right to vote and that you could not put barriers on those rights to vote. Of course, the Supreme Court struck that down in a terrible decision. And what we need to do in Congress when we take it back is strengthen the Voting Rights Act and pass new legislation that would give people the right to vote and make it clear what type of tactics are being used to disenfranchise folks. I mean, the story about the 2016 election, yes, there was Russian interference, but what really cost the Democrats the election was the systematic shutting down of polling places in minority areas, the systematic turning away of minorities at polls. I mean, it was a concerted effort in some of these states to restrict the participation of African-Americans and minority voters. And we need to be much more vocal about that as a Democratic Party.
We'll be back. It's coming up on 45 minutes past the hour, 15 minutes before the hour. We'll be back with more of your calls for Congressman Ro Khanna. He is the vice chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, one of the real progressive stars of the Democratic Party. He represents the 17th District of California. And you can tweet him at Rep. Ro Khanna, as in representative, R-E-P, Ro Khanna. And his website is khanna.house.gov. It's 45 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit tomhartman.com for audio and video archives.
Back with more of your calls for Congressman Khanna right after this. And welcome back. Emma, in Greenville, Mississippi, you are on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Yeah, Tom, I know this is 2018, but I would like to talk about 2016 election. I usually vote in person, but 2016, I'm an elder lady. 2016, I had knee surgery, and I couldn't make it to the poll. So I called my county office to require an absentee ballot. And the person that I spoke to, I've been thinking about this a lot. The person I spoke to, she asked me my name, and she asked me how many ballots did I want sent to me. And that's been curious. I've been thinking about that a lot. How many ballots did I want sent to me? And I've been thinking the Republicans rely on absentee ballots. And we need to start looking into that more.
Do you think it's possible, Emma, that what she was asking is how many years or how many election cycles do you want absentee ballots? Do you in other words, do you expect your surgery to permanently disable you? Do you want us to send you absentee ballots in the future? I mean, maybe you misunderstood what
no,
she meant.
No, for that election.
Ah, for that election. Yes. Wow.
Yes, you want to know how many ballots did I want. If I had to say it 100, I would have sent them to me.
Congressman Khanna, your thoughts?
Republican count on the absentee ballot, and I see why.
Yeah. Okay. Congressman?
Well, ma'am, I am sure that there are cases of voter fraud that you're describing, but my bigger concern is the voter suppression and people not being allowed to vote. The example you give is not right, but I think that's more a minority case. I think the bigger problem is people not taking your phone call and not sending you an absentee ballot or systematically disenfranchising people in Democratic areas. So I think the Congress's priority and focus should really be on making sure every vote is counted first and that people aren't being disenfranchised.
We have, Congressman, the Supreme Court in 2001 in Bush v. Gore. Well, I guess it was December of 2000 in Bush v. Gore. Ruled that there is no individual right to vote for the President of the United States in the Constitution. I think that's almost verbatim. And this was the lawsuit, of course, where George W. Bush said that if all the votes in Florida were counted, that the petitioner, George W. Bush, would suffer irreparable harm. That is a verbatim quote. With the Supreme Court taking that position, that we don't have a right to vote, and the Supreme Court taking that position again when they gutted the Voting Rights Act, at the same time that the right to vote, that phrase appears, I believe, three times in the Constitution and the various amendments. So it's entirely possible that if you had a Supreme Court that was more interested in the right to vote, they could have quote, found the right to vote in the Constitution long ago. Does that mean that rather than dealing with this legislatively or judicially, we need to have a constitutional amendment to get around the Supreme Court?
I don't think it should come to that. But by the way, this is the way you framed that question. Some senator should be asking Kavanaugh his view on that issue. I think it's plain in the current Constitution that every American has a right to vote, and I think people would be appalled at the Supreme Court decision. I mean, obviously that was a jiu-jitsu to try to get George Bush to win, because we all know when every vote was recounted in Florida, Al Gore actually had won, and they had this false sense of states' rights controlling a presidential election.
Right.
But my view is that we need to appoint progressive and thoughtful justices who will actually find a common sense reading of the Constitution, which is that this should.
Welcome back. Congressman Ro Khanna taking your calls for the hour. Gary in Switzerland. Oh, my God. Gary, listening on TuneIn Radio, you are on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank both of you for the work that you do. I think it's not only admirable, but rather necessary. But I've been thinking about something that I think is a problem and that I don't have a solution for, and it's about representation in Congress. And everybody talks about that there should be more women in Congress, more people of color in Congress, which I am certainly for. But it strikes me that the majority of Americans have absolutely no representation in Congress, and those are the people that earn under $100,000 a year. And I think, as I said, I don't have any solution for that, but I think it is something that maybe should be discussed, because I am sure that people who make over $100,000 a year have other views of life than the people who don't. And I'm curious to hear your opinion about that.
Sir, I think it's an excellent point, and I'll tell you why you're right. Because to run for Congress, one, you have to be able to raise millions of dollars, and two, you have to be able to take time off and support yourself while you're running a campaign. And so we've made it such that only people of a certain socioeconomic background are even able to run for Congress. I think we have to figure out how we get more people who are truly from the working class running. We have several of those candidates now this cycle. Let me tell you two things we could do. One, we can make sure through democracy dollars, a bill introduced with Russ Feingold that would give every voter $50 to spend on elections. And it would democratize the way we raise money. That would go a long way. And secondly, the Democratic Party needs to be really looking for people tied to their community who are working in their community to recruit them, and not just look at a person's fundraising potential in getting behind candidates. But you're absolutely right. The Congress, probably 99% of the Congress is comprised of people who have made over $100,000 in their past job, and it isn't representative from that perspective.
There's also the issue of people being able to make campaign contributions, since that seems to be the main thing that Congress responds to. So,
yeah, I mean, that's why we've got to take that. Let every voter become a donor. Give every voter $50. Make sure that every voter has a voice, and you'll see the composition of Congress changing. And some of the most inspiring candidates this cycle have been people with a working-class background, Randy Bryce up in Wisconsin, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who, of course, famously was bartending before she won. So you're seeing new candidates emerge, and they bring a perspective of not being able to pay the rent, of understanding the concerns of their community. I think the caller makes a very fair point.
Jeremy in Woodland Hills, California. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call, Tom. Congressman, you made a comment a little while ago, and I think I don't want it to get lost, because I think this is a place where Democrats have really failed the country and failed us. And that is, we need to quit talking about Trump winning the election. He didn't win any election. Hillary had 3 million more votes. With all the suppression of the vote, he didn't win. And by continuing to talk about, well, Trump won the election, we're normalizing this whole thing. We're normalizing him, and we are not taking the advantage of people being energized as a result of anger, because we should all be angered by what the Republicans did with the 2016 election and with Al Gore. Thank you.
I'm sure I share your anger. I mean, I think obviously we need to point out that Donald Trump did lose the popular vote overwhelmingly, but as you point out and I pointed out earlier, there was a huge suppression of the vote in these battleground districts where a lot of people were not able to vote, and were those votes allowed, I think Hillary Clinton would have won some of those battleground states as well. The only place I would say is I do think even if we think that Donald Trump would have gotten 46, 47, 48%, I do think one important lesson for us to take away from the election is a lot of working class Americans felt things weren't working for them. The economy wasn't working for them. They weren't getting the pay raises they deserved. They didn't have economic opportunity. And that both parties, including the Democratic Party, need to have a better agenda in helping working class families, and that we have lost sight of that. I think that's an important thing for us to focus on and acknowledge moving forward.
It's the last 2 minutes of the hour. Jordan in Durham, California. You're on the air with Congressman Khanna.
Hey, Tom. It's Durham, North Carolina.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. I know the last time I talked to Will Khanna, we talked about me being young, and I want to ask him, Congressman, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
And I just want to talk to you about these demonstrations that they're doing and of Silence Sam. I just want to get your thoughts on that real quick.
Demonstrations on the Supreme Court? Which demonstrations?
The Silence Sam.
Silence Sam taking down the statue there North Carolina.
Sure. Well, I think it's terrific that people are demonstrating for civil rights and making sure that we don't have symbols of our past that are hurtful or hateful, that we need to move beyond that. And I think young people in particular will help us mobilize in a way that removes statues that are harmful or hurtful and puts them in a museum where they belong.
Congressman, we have about a half a minute here to the end of the hour. Your thoughts on the coming week, what people should be doing and paying attention to?
Well, I appreciate it, Tom. I think we really need to be focused on the Supreme Court battle. This is not a done deal by any stretch. More details are leaking about how partisan Kavanaugh has been and how dishonest he has been. And we ought to make it our voices clearly heard on that. And then we need to be prepared again for the Republicans introducing a new tax bill that's going to help reduce capital gains and put more money in the pockets of their donors. And we need to stand up to that and continue to fight for working Americans. I will say very quickly, Tom, as I've been going around the country, I'm amazed how many listeners you have in every part of this country. And invariably in any state or any county I'm in, people will say, I'm hearing Tom Hartman. So,
that's great.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Congressman.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.